make our setback right from here on the water side.
Then in the middle of the thing, we'll do a second spot about the way the program worked over Baltimore, a third spot about the program.
Cleveland. Well, I want to say before I go any further that I don't consider those programs to be typical.
Well, I don't consider them necessarily typical at all. But I have heard the Baltimore program is quite good, the Cleveland program is what probably.
Depends on how they're managed, you know, and also the spirit, the desire of the administration that they would get into that. If you have people that want to poison the well before you start to drink, you have to consider.
Well, then we're going to do a fourth piece about an individual here in Washington. Well, then we'll try to wrap it all up.
Fine, very good.
So anyhow, we have already done the interview with Reed Man, as to why they don't want to see the program expanded, indeed, why they like to see it all phased out. Are we ready to start?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. I suppose I.
By the way, if the bells ring, then you just close off for a minute until they close down. Because we have 15 minutes after they ring.
Okay. Senator Alan Greenspan and the other administration economists say that they're opposed to public service employment programs because they simply say they simply don't work. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think you have to ask what is the alternative to public service employment. When you have recession and high unemployment, what Dr. Greenspan is telling you in so many words is that let people draw food stamps and unemployment compensation or welfare or just not have anything. Because what you have today is about 8 million people unemployed. Now you're paying those people today with unemployment compensation, food stamps and welfare and other supporting assistance. And it costs the government millions and billions and billions of dollars. Every year, the cost of the federal government for every 1% of unemployment is about 16 or 17 billion. On top of that is $5 billion of local government costs. So for each 1% of unemployment, it costs about $21 to $22 billion in lost revenues and the costs of social programs. So Dr. Greenspan says, let's just keep handing out checks and food stamps to the people that have no work. Hubert Humphrey says, let's give people a chance for an alternative. Rather than just line up for food stamps and unemployment compensation, let's see if we can't have a bank of jobs over here where people can come and go to work. I admit that some of these jobs will not be too good, but they're better than just letting people rot. Just letting people sit around and not have any chance to do anything with their abilities or their energies. So I'm not proposing that public service jobs, working in parks or hospitals or offices or working in the conservation programs, the Forest Service. There are lots of things to do. I'm not saying they're the best of all jobs, but I am saying this, that you pay a person to do something rather than pay him not to do something. I feel that this government has got to have an employment policy that provides an opportunity for people who do not have jobs to do something constructive.
Now, the expansion of Title VI, that's before Congress now, would, by its own objectives, only add about 300,000 jobs. In the month of January, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics official figures, private sector added 800,000 jobs in 1 month. Why doesn't it make more sense then to stimulate the private sector?
You do both, but Alan Greenspan doesn't want to do much in either. We've had to force upon this administration every single effort to stimulate the private economy. They worked on the basis of a kind of a laissez-faire economic philosophy, hopefully that recovery would come in due time. Who's been pounding to get a more adequate supply of money and credit, lower interest rates? Some of us, like myself, in the Joint Economic Committee, who's been pushing to see that we got a proper tax reduction bill that really got purchasing power in the hands of people, the majority, the Democratic majority in this Congress. We have been pushing for summer employment for our young people in public service jobs. I want most of the jobs, in fact, I'd like all of the jobs in the public sector. But not a single person, no person will ever, will tell you that in the next three to four years, you're going to be able to get all those jobs in the private sector. The administration's own forecasts tell you that by 1978, there'll still be over 6% unemployed. Now, what Dr. Greenspan is saying, leave them 6% unemployed, that's 6 million. Let them get food stamps. Let them get welfare. Let them get unemployment compensation. Hubert Humphrey's telling you there are things to do. We're 15 years behind in our reforestation. Let's plant some trees. We've got water and sewer projects. We have parks that need to be modernized and brought up to date. We've got a whole railroad system in this country that is in deplorable condition in terms of its what we call its road debt. There are things that need to be done in America. And Dr. Greenspan's his negativism on this is, to me, very shocking. Frankly, I have to say to the Council of Economic Advisors, Mr. Greenspan being the chairman, that if they can't come up with anything better than they've done thus far, they ought to quit.
Suppose you had an entirely free hand. Would you focus all of your efforts in the direction of stimulating the private economy, or do you believe that under any circumstances there ought to be a public service employment program expansion?
As long as there is unemployment above the 4% or 5% level, I think you need a mix, particularly if it's over 6%. Now, I am a strong advocate of stimulating the private economy using fiscal policy and monetary policy, credit, lower interest rates, tax reductions, every conceivable thing you can do to, and special tax incentives to give the private sector additional help, investment tax credit. I've advocated it, worked for it, and voted for all of that. But I'm here to tell you that that will not, in a short period of time, absorb the vast residue of unemployment which still exists in this country. We already have had a substantial recovery in America in terms of gross national product, in terms of the use of our plant capacity, and in terms of corporate profits. But we still have around 8% of our people unemployed, and a large segment of them are young people that have had no work experience. So we've got to have a mix, and I hope that the mix will place the emphasis upon the private sector, but not ignore the fact that there are millions of people out here that still don't have work.
Aren't those youthful, hardcore unemployed a somewhat different problem from the one that we're attempting to deal with
Yes, they are different, but they therefore need different treatment. You mustn't assume that just because they're different, that we ought to ignore their plight. They're here, and they run into the millions. And as a matter of fact, I consider it one of the gravest social problems that confronts our country, the problem of youth unemployment. Now, let me give you another observation, which you don't generally get to generalize figures. You hear that the unemployment rate today is slightly below 8%. But that doesn't include the part-time workers who want full-time work, or people who become discouraged and dropped out of the labor market. But more significantly, when you go to New York, the unemployment problem in New York City is 14%. When you go to Providence, Rhode Island, it's 12%. You go to Boston, it's 12%. You go to Los Angeles, and it's 11 to 12%. You go into Detroit, it's 15 to 16%. Now, it's these pockets of unemployment which Dr. Greenspan and his associates fail to see or fail to do anything about. And this just consumes the capacity of those local governments to meet their needs, to provide the revenues, to take care of the many things that a city has to take care of. I just feel that we can't afford this incredible waste of human resources. And it is a waste of those resources, and I repeat again, it is terribly costly to the Treasury. Unemployment since 1971 has cost this economy over $500 billion. And between 1974 and 1980, it will cost, in lost production, in lost revenue, and lost income, a $1,500,000,000. If we were down to 4 to 4.5% unemployment now, which is what we call full employment, we would have a budget surplus. We wouldn't have budget deficits. The deficits that are in the federal treasury today are recession deficits. It simply means that income's not coming in. Every 1% of unemployment costs the treasury for lost revenue $12 billion. Another $4 to $5 billion for social costs that you have to pick up. State and local governments are going broke. Defaulting on their bonds, or close to defaulting on their bonds. Why? Because their revenues are down and their costs are up. So Dr. Greenspan says, just wait. He says, if you wait long enough, Mr. Humphrey, and he's told me this, you wait long enough and it'll all work itself out just fine. Well, that's like the old question, what's the difference between the long run and the short run? In the long run, we're all dead. In the short run, we've got plenty of pain. And it's the short run here, the next couple of years, that's going to be critical.
One of Greenspan's points, of course, is that the jobs created under PSE programs simply displace people who would be working in the public sector anyway. And he estimates, based on some studies, that probably 2 out of 3 of the jobs in the course of the year simply replace people who would otherwise be working for local governments. Do you think that figure has any validity?
No, I do not, and I haven't found any mayor or local government official that agrees with that at all. I've been around the great cities. I've met with the U.S. Conference of Mayors, the National League of Cities. There isn't any doubt but what there is some slippage. In other words, if you provide, let's say, 1 million public service jobs, then possibly 100,000 of them or so will replace workers that are already on the job. And there's going to be some of that kind of abuse, just like there's some abuse on food stamps, and there's some people that cheat on welfare, and there's some corporations that cheat, and some politicians, and so forth. There is, regrettably, that sort of thing in the human, as a human factor. But we know that if a program is well monitored, if you're watching it, and that's what needs to be done in any government program, as you're dealing with other people's money, you have to watch it very carefully, supervise it, that it does not represent replacement. Because what Greenspan is saying is, when you give them a public service employee, they drop a regular employee.
Well, in the specific case of Cleveland, which we just visited in the last couple of days, the city of Cleveland's Title VI money provided them with 412 jobs, and the number of rehired, laid-off city employees under that program is 412. Every single Title VI job went to put the laid-off Cleveland city worker back on the payroll.
Well, they would have been that those 412 would have been unemployed if that hadn't been the case.
But they don't represent the total unemployment problem in the community. Why focus on taking care of unemployed city workers and leave unemployed private citizens out on the street?
Well, we wish we didn't have to do that. But this administration doesn't want any public service jobs. They veto our bills. I think instead of having 300,000 public service jobs, we ought to have 1 million. And that would give Cleveland something to do with. Imagine 412 jobs for the city of Cleveland under a federal government program. They recruited more people for the army out of Cleveland than that. Now, what happened was that the city of Cleveland, because of the shortage of revenues and tight budget, had to lay off over 400 people. Fortunately, the federal government did come along with the public service program and permitted them at least to put those back on the job. That at least is some benefit. What they ought to have had for Cleveland was at least 5,000 or 6,000 jobs. And then we would have gotten at it. See, Greenspan and company, they come along and pick out a situation like that or something like this develops. But nobody says what would have happened if you didn't have the public service job. And I'm not just talking public service. I want to get it clear. You have to have a mix. You have to have tax reductions. You need to have an expansionary monetary policy. You need to have enforcement of your antitrust laws to rake up administered prices. And you need to have emergency public works. You need to put people out constructing things and doing things as well as just a public service job that may be inside of a city office or in a park board office or in a water and sewage plant. I repeat, there is no lack of things in this country that need to be done more. We need to clean up the streets. We need to fill up the potholes. We need to snag out the rivers. We need to plant trees. We need to clean up our railroads. We need to expand our farm-to-market roads. We've got 1,001 things to do, sir. And to me, to have a government stand around here and spend billions of dollars a year on unemployment compensation and welfare and food stamps when people ought to be working. And they ought to be given a job and told that they've got to go to work. Unemployment compensation is a short-term. It's a gap to fill a little short-term gap. After a certain number of weeks of unemployment compensation, you ought to have a job offer. And if the person doesn't take the job, he loses his unemployment comp. That'll see that people get to work. People want to go to work. I was in Los Angeles here only a month and a half ago, or less than a month and a half ago. One job opened up on a city elevator. 350 people had applied by 4:30 in the morning. They had a riot in the city hall looking for that one job. They had a few public service jobs open up and 22,000 people lined up for those jobs. Now those are jobs that pay very little income. $8,000, $7,500, $9,000. People would rather work any day than to accept charity. Believe me, they want to. Most of them. Oh, you'll find 1 or 2%. They don't want it. You'll find a few people that know how to cream it off, rip it off, and that's the one that gets in the newspaper. That's the one that'll appear on television. The guy that didn't, knew how to get by. But I'm here to tell you that most of my neighbors that are without work in Minnesota, they want to work, and they're asking for the chance to do something and to be involved. Now, I don't want a permanent public service job program. When the unemployment rate starts to fall, as it will in the private economy, you cut off your public service jobs. Public service is nothing but a supplement. It is not to supplant. Emergency public works are to supplement, not to supplant.
Now that, of course, is one of the criticisms that frequently raised is that these programs tend to become permanent. Are you confident that there would be political support for ending these programs?
Oh, no doubt about it at all. The Congress is very conservative on these matters. We have constantly passed legislation that provides that once you've gotten to a 6% unemployment rate, you lose your benefits, even in extended unemployment compensation. Or people that have just to get an unemployment compensation benefit to a state that has run out of unemployment funds, it has to have over 6% unemployment.
Another of the points that's raised by Greenspan and others is that the jobs under public service employment programs tend to be sort of dead-end jobs that don't have much future prospects.
Some of them are not too good, but that again is part of the responsibility of this federal government. I talked to Dr. Arthur Burns just recently when he was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, as he told us. He worked to find what kind of job, what kind of public works jobs could you have that were ready to go, that you could turn on, and when you got some employment improvement, you could turn off. Now we need to have a shelf of public works that you can start up and you can turn off according to what the employment rate is or the unemployment rate is. These will be basically worthwhile jobs. I would be the last person to say that every job is the best job, but I repeat again, what's the alternative? Really believe the American people want to go on and on and on. Both the victims of unemployment and the taxpayers are just have people getting social services, unemployment compensation, and food stamps. We need unemployment compensation for those that have temporarily unemployed. We need food stamps for people with low income. But above all, we need a better alternative, a chance to make a living, to earn your own wage. And that's what I'm talking about.
Is it your view that in good times and bad, the government ought to stand ready to be the employer of last resort for those people who cannot find jobs in the private sector?
Yes, it is. And it is my view that the government of the United States should have a declared full employment policy wherein you tune in and tie in the Federal Reserve Board, the Congress, and the President to design and effectuate policies and programs that assure this country of high production, of high growing income and a full employment. And I'm preparing legislation that will accomplish that objective.
What's your personal judgment, Senator, of the political prospects of a really large-scale public service employment program being enacted?
This administration, the president will veto it. And I'm not sure that we have the two-thirds to override it. But we know we need it, the majority of us. And may I say that if the president vetoes it, it's the kind of issue that ought to be taken to the American people for their resolution in an election.
Yes.
Thank you.
If you could sit 30 seconds.